How many of you pay attention to commercials that you see on TV or radio? Some of you do. Most of you kind of iffy. But aren't there some of them that really just kind of grab your attention sometimes? Did you ever find yourself maybe singing a little jingle that you heard on TV? Or you heard it on the radio and it's just one of those things you can't get out of your mind? Or maybe there's a saying, you remember years ago, and some of you may not remember this because it's been a long time ago, but I heard they're bringing a variation of this commercial back. Where's the beef? And it was a hamburger commercial, you know, where's the beef? And there was a lot of people going around just out of the blue, where's the beef, you know? Well, another one that's been not too awfully long ago that a lot of people have heard, and it's really, I am told, been one of the most catchy commercials or most famous commercials, especially for cell phones, that's ever been on television or radio. And it was once that said, can you hear me now? The guy's walking down the street, and every few feet he stops, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? And so on. And I've noticed, even jokingly in here, sometimes when we're testing the sound system and we're trying to get a volume, we say, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Well, a lot of us have repeated that line and we've used it numerous times. And it seems like that just about everybody is listening to something anymore. See people walking down the street, and they got earplugs in, you know, and they're walking along, and they're in their own little world sometimes. They're listening to maybe to the radio, maybe they're listening to an MP3, maybe they're listening to music. Who knows what some of them are listening to? But they're walking around, and I've actually seen people in downtown Nashville almost walk right out in front of a moving car, because they were listening to something and they weren't paying attention to what was going on. So sometimes when we're listening, we can get off in our own little world. But the question is, what are we listening to? Everybody's plugged in, but are they really listening? Sometimes it's just going in one ear and out the other. Listening and hearing can sometimes be two different things. And I want to go all the way back to Eden today to start this message. And Eve, how many remember Eve? This is a question you almost got to ask anymore. How many know who Eve was?
Yeah, really.
You know? And Eve, she listened to the serpent. Now the serpent in Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, it says, and the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? She's listening here now. Ooh, man, there's some of that stuff over. I know that he said you don't eat of that tree, but man, that looks so good. And the serpent's telling her, don't worry about it. Do you ever have somebody try to tempt you with something and say, oh, it's okay? Nobody's going to mind if you do this. It's not going to matter. So Eve is listening, and she's hearing what she wants to hear, because the serpent goes on to say, go ahead, take a bite. You're not going to die. You see, because she told him, said, well, God said, if I eat of this, I'm going to surely die. No, you're not going to die. It'll be okay. A lot of times people come along, and especially Satan brings people sometimes into our lives that are trying to get us to do something, and a lot with the young people, to do things that they shouldn't be doing. And he's telling them, it's not going to be a big problem. You want to be the life of the party? Do this. He's constantly trying to tempt us to do things that we shouldn't be doing. And that not only is the young people, but it's everybody. I don't care how old you are. Satan tries to tempt you to do things that God said for us not to do. Well, Eve took action on what she heard and what she'd listened to. And in verse 6 it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And not only did she eat, she says, "Oh, Adam, come here. I got this nice, shiny, delicious, tasty piece of fruit for you. Just take a bite. It is so good." Now, I know we've always joked about it being the apple. Nowhere in the scripture does it say it was an apple. It just says the fruit. Whatever it was, it must have really tasted good. Because she said, "Adam, take a bite. Take a bite." And that's the way people are when they begin to indulge in the things of the world and the things of sin. They want to bring somebody else along with them. They want to say, "Anthony, I had this stuff and it was, oh man, I got such a high off of this. Anthony, you got to try this." And Anthony's doing right there what he should be doing as a Christian. He's resisting, saying, "No, no, no, get away from me." And that's what we should be doing sometimes. But a lot of times we listen to what they have to say. Well, most people are familiar, especially here in the congregation, they're familiar with the story. They ate. They didn't physically die right then, but they started to physically die right then. And they spiritually died right then. Their lives changed forever. They were evicted from paradise. And it went downhill from there. But what about Noah now? Noah's a man that got a lot of people around him doing a lot of terrible things. In fact, the Bible says, how many of you believe the Bible?
Amen.
Got to ask that in church anymore, because a lot of times in church that a lot of people don't really believe all the Bible. Some of them think it's just a collection of fairy tales. You know, it was something that was written to try to get us to walk and do a good life, you know, and be good people. But, you know, I really don't believe some of that stuff. Man, that's ridiculous, you know. And that's the way some people feel, even if they're sitting in church. But Noah, we're told, was living in a day and an age when sin was so abundant and people had so turned their backs on God that the scripture says God was sorry he'd even made man. But he thought about just wiping out the whole mess and starting all over again. But he looked and said, "Ah, there's Noah. There is a glimmer of hope." Because it goes on to say that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So God speaks to Noah and says to him, "The end of all flesh," in chapter 6, verse 13, "the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Now God's laying something heavy on Noah here. Noah's not only hearing what God is saying, he's listening to what God is saying. We can hear something but not listen to it. He is hearing and he is listening to what God has to say, because God then goes on to give him some instructions to how he and his family are going to be saved, how God is going to use him to rebuild this creation. Noah hears, Noah listens. And in verse 22 of chapter 6, it says, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Well, for those who are familiar with the story, and if you're not, read it in Genesis chapter 6. Those who are familiar, though, we know that Noah built an ark. Noah, he got laughed at, he got mocked, he got scorned. Took him a long time, but he didn't give up. In the end, he and his family and the animals that God brought to him to put on the ark, I don't think Noah had to go out hunting for the animals. I think God sent them there. Got them on the ark, and because of that, they were saved. Because Noah heard, but not only did he hear, but he listened and he obeyed what God had to say. There was Moses, who in Exodus chapter 3, he's out on the backside of the desert. I mean, he's grown up in the palace. treated as the son of the Pharaoh, finds himself in trouble because he finally stands up for who he knows is really his people, and finds himself years later on the backside of the desert herding sheep. You can just see it. Moses is out there. He's got the sheep, just him and the sheep. There's Oscar, George, John, Fred, Mabel, Ethel.
Don't forget Billy Bob.
And Billy Bob's out there too. He had some southern sheep as well. He knows them all by name. Talks to them probably too. And all of a sudden one day, the scripture tells us, God appears to Moses in the midst of a burning fire, a burning bush. Moses goes over to check it out. And God speaks to him, tells him to take off his shoes because he's standing on holy ground. He's standing in the presence of God Almighty. And as he speaks to him, he tells him, he says, Moses, I'm going to use you to go back to Egypt and stand before Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. They've been in bondage long enough. The time has come for them to be delivered. Well, he was listening, and sometimes we listen and we hear, and we're not always thrilled with what we hear. Because sometimes God speaks to us and he asks us to do something that maybe we're really not too much interested in doing. Or maybe we're a little bit afraid of doing it. God doesn't always speak to us and ask us to do easy things. He spoke to Moses and said, I want you to go back and stand in front of the man that has a bounty on your head and tell him, let my people go. In other words, Moses is going back and said, all your slaves, Pharaoh, you got to turn loose and let them go. And this is not going to set well. He's not expecting if he goes back that Pharaoh is going to say, oh, okay, you can go, pack your bags, leave. No, he knows it's going to be a problem. And he said, God, in chapter 3, verse 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Hey, God, surely there's got to be somebody else, you know. There's people back in Egypt that's probably a lot more qualified than me. You know, God, use one of them. Do we ever find ourselves talking to God like that when God calls us to do something? But God, surely, you know, God, I don't want to do this. Send Brittany instead. She can do it. No. Oh, God, I don't want to do that. Oh, Christopher, he's the one, Christopher. And if it can, you know, if Pharaoh really comes down, it's Christopher, send Christopher. You know. You know. And the Bible goes on to tell us, he says, God, what do I do? What do I say? And God says, look, you go in there and you tell him, look, I am that I am has sent me. And he's going to know. You see, the devil knows who God is. And those that are following the things of the devil know who God is when God's person, God's man or woman of that hour comes into their presence. They know who God is. You can go to work, and some of those people at work that are blaspheming God and all of these other things that goes on, sometimes you walk into the room and they stop sometimes because they know the presence of God is there. The devil knows. And why do you have trouble at work sometimes? Not because you've done something wrong. It's because they know the presence of God is there and they're not too happy about it. Because it stops them from doing some of the things they want to do. Well, Moses, like a lot of us, going on into chapter 4, verse 10, he's really still not too thrilled about going. God, isn't there some other, well, you know, after all, God, he says, I'm not eloquent. Neither heretofore nor since hast thou spoken unto thy servant, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. God, you know, somebody better than me can speak this word to Pharaoh. Gotta be. If you go on and read the scripture here, you find out that God wasn't too happy about this. Because it says in verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. You know, the thing is, even though we're Christians, sometimes we can do things. Quite honestly, I'm sure every once in a while we, like Moses, tick God off a little bit. God says, look, Moses, there are other people out there I can use, but I have chosen you. I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to send Aaron to be your spokesperson. When God speaks, we hear, but we don't always want to listen. And sometimes we especially don't want to obey. All right, there's got to be somebody else. There's got to be some other way. I don't know how we're going to do it. But if God has spoken the word and said, this is what I want you to do, he is going to make the way. Amen. Well, you know the story. Moses went back with his brother Aaron, went in before Pharaoh, ends up there's 10 plagues. Finally, with the final plague, the firstborn of the houses of Egypt are slain. And Pharaoh's at that point ready to get rid of them. Get out of town quick. They head out of town and he changes his mind and goes after them. And the Egyptian army gets drowned in the Red Sea. And I know people have debated that for years and years and years. And some say it was not the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea. And the Reed Sea is shallow. Well, I don't care whether it's the Red Sea or the Reed Sea. The Bible tells me God drowned the Egyptian army there. And if he drowned them in the Reed Sea, which was shallow, then that was a greater miracle than if he drowned them in the Red Sea. Simple as that. I believe it's in the Bible. I believe what God's word says. Well, let's go to the New Testament, though. You say, well, yeah, these are Old Testament stories. No, that's long. A lot of people, they want to forget about the Old Testament. After all, that was over 2,000 years ago. Actually, it was over 2,400 years ago because the last thing written in the Old Testament was 400 years before Jesus. So more than 2,400 years ago is when all this stuff you're talking about happened. We can forget about the Old Testament. But you know what? Everything that's in the Old Testament is pertinent to today in one shape or form. It can have an example for us, or it can be a prophecy of something that's going to take place even yet today. So we've got to pay attention to the Old Testament. We can't just pick it up and say, okay, let's rip that part. Hey, boy, it'd sure make my Bible a lot lighter if all I had to carry around was the New Testament. You know? Well, for a lot of people that want it that way, it doesn't matter because they're not going to read either one of them anyway. Well, what about a guy that we don't talk about too much? And, well, even the disciples, they kind of had a problem with this one. Because Jesus is in town and he's teaching, and the Bible tells us about this guy named Zacchaeus. How many of you remember Zacchaeus? Remember the little song you used to sing in Sunday school? Zacchaeus was a wee wee man, a wee wee man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for our Lord to see. Well, here he is up in the tree. Jesus, and this is Ken's translation right now. Jesus looks up in the tree and says, Zacchaeus, come on down, because I'm going to your house for dinner. And, oh, they're appalled. Now, Zacchaeus heard and Zacchaeus listened, because he got down. He went to his house and got dinner ready. But the disciples, man, they're not too thrilled. Jesus, how could you? Putting us in this horrible position. We got to go have dinner with the tax collector. Let's face it. People are still not fond of the tax collector today. Here it is, April 15th, taxes are due by that date, and nobody is overly thrilled about all of that. Except for people that don't pay taxes, and it doesn't matter to them. And so they go and they visit with Zacchaeus. But Jesus had a purpose there in what he was doing. So they go, they have their meal. And in Luke chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, this is what it says. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Jesus made a very profound statement there. He wasn't come to save just the goody two-shoes. He wasn't come to save just those that went to temple every day or however often. He wasn't come to save those people. He was come to save those that were despised by the world if they would open up their hearts and let him. This day salvation has come to this house. Oh, they heard it, but they probably weren't really too thrilled about it. Jesus has come to save the tax collectors. Man, I'd be much happier if Jesus had said he was come to get rid of the tax collectors. You know, because after all, what they were really wanting Jesus to say was that Jesus had come and he was going to set up a kingdom and he was going to run the Romans out of town and everything was going to be glorious and there'd be no more problems. And there are some people think that when they become a Christian that everything's going to be great and there's not going to be any more problems. Well, I'm sorry, you still got to live in the world. And there's going to be problems until the day God takes you home. But I'll tell you, he's got a place laid up for us, a place in store for us where there will be no more problems. And that day is coming. We just got to bide our time. No, they were wanting to hear the things that were said as Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Where in Luke 19:38 we find them where it says they were saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Oh, Jesus has come. Man, I tell you, by the end of the week, man, he's going to be sitting on the throne of David. The Romans are going to be gone. It's going to be a glorious time. That's what a lot of them were looking for. They weren't looking for a Jesus who was going to go die on a cross. That was the last thing from their minds. But all along, Jesus has been telling them. They've been hearing, but they've not been listening to what he had to say. John 12:13, it says, "They took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, 'Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" And what does that word Hosanna mean? Save us now! Save us now! That's what they were looking for. That's what the crowd was looking for. Even though he said, "My time is about at hand. It's about time for me to fulfill the mission that my Father has sent me to do." And Jesus, then as he ascended back into the heavens, some many days later, he's spoken his last words to them in his earthly ministry. The Bible tells us that as he ascends into the heavens, Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, and it says that they were staring into the sky after him. Suddenly they saw two men dressed in white standing next to them. The men said, "You Galileans, why are you standing staring into space? This Yeshua who has been taken away from you into heaven will come back to you in just the same way as you saw him go into the heavens." The disciples heard this time, and they believed. Because they went out then. Jesus' last words to them, some of his last words were, "You tarry in Jerusalem, and I'm going to send the Comforter." Amen. Not many days hence. They went, and they did what Jesus had said for them to do. They heard, They listened. They believed. And we're still getting the message today, but are we really listening? The same Jesus is coming back someday. We hear it, and we hear it. Yeah, we've heard it for 2,000 years. Sometimes it's going in one ear and right back out the other. But you got to go back a little bit to what Jesus told the disciples on the Mount of Olives in Matthew chapter 24, starting with verse 4. And he said, And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. What he's telling them is a lot of things that are going to take place before he comes back. And I don't have time to go through all of those verses, but I want to just kind of give you a brief synopsis of some of the things that he said. He tells them some of the signs that are going to take place before he will come back. He says there will be false messiahs. And there have been numerous false messiahs. And I remember, and I may have told you this before, when I was a kid, probably about 10 years old, we had moved to California, and there was word came out over the weekend that some guy who had claimed to be Jesus, who'd gathered a little commune in California, a little bit north of Los Angeles, he'd actually was living with some other man's wife. And that other guy got fed up, and he went and put a few sticks of dynamite under the house and blew them all away. Now, that was kind of rash, kind of drastic, but boy, his followers sure found out real quickly he wasn't Jesus. So there'd be false messiahs. We've all heard of false messiahs. There's some of them running around out there right now. They're claiming to be the Messiah. There's wars and rumors of wars, and boy, do we hear about that. In fact, it can be downright scary if you let it be. But I know Jesus is coming, and my trust is in him, and he's going to take care of me. I know that at this point in time, my government can't take care of me, no matter what they tell me. Only God can take care of me. You'll be hated. Christians are being hated today. I read story after story of persecution of Christians, not only in other countries, but in some cases here in America, where Christians are being persecuted today simply because they're Christians. You'll be delivered up to be killed. Hey, even the secular media reports some of this, of Christians being sentenced to death because they simply stood up and said they believed in Jesus Christ. Goes on. Said the love of many will wax cold. It has. The love of many has grown cold. Oh, we can go to church today and we can hear all kinds of things, but do we really hear about the love of God? Do we really hear about what God's got in store for us? Do we really hear what we need to do to please God? We hear what we need to do to please one another, to please man, to be popular, all of these things. I tell you, the only person I'm 100% want to be popular with is God. I want to know that we're best friends. And I want to know that someday I'm going to step into his presence and I want to have him say to me that you did a good job. And you know what? That good job is depending on what you do that he spoke to you to do and your ability to do it. Well, we've heard all of these things preached, and I'm sure we still hear a few messages about that today. Not too many. I know when I was growing up, we heard a lot more of them. But have we listened? I don't think the church, especially the church in America, has all that much. Because if we had been listening, churches would be full today, not to find out who was singing or who was giving the concert or or how to get wealthy or any of these other things that we hear preached in church today. But it would be full because there would be sinners coming in crying out for repentance, seeking God for salvation. But we're not really seeing that. Matthew chapter 24, verse 44 says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Be ready. Be ready. Yes, there's wars and rumors of wars. Some scary things out there. Some things drastic that could happen. But his important instruction to us, if we're listening, is just be ready. Be ready. And to be ready, our heart has to be right with God. Our heart has to be right with God, and we have to have that relationship. It's not just knowing who God is, because most of the world does, some way, shape, or form, but they don't have that relationship. And that's what it's all about. It's about that relationship, not just knowing who he is, but having that relationship, knowing that God is our Father and we are his child. That's what's important. This week, the Washington Post posted some stories, and it's a lengthy story. Don't have time to read all of it. But it talks about how U.S. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta believes that the Israelis are considering massive airstrikes against Iran as early as April, May, or June of this year. Another story that was in the paper, Iran warns world of coming great event. Here's what it says. In the light of the realization of the divine promise by Almighty God, the Zionist and the great Satan America, and the God they're talking about is not the God we serve. Let me put this here right away. Will soon be defeated. Ayatollah Khamenei, the Iranian supreme leader, warned. They're saying their God is telling them that they're about to take over. When they speak of their God, they're not speaking of the God that we worship, Yahweh God. Goes on, and just another part of it says, many clerics in Iran have stated that Khamenei is the deputy of the last Islamic Messiah, which would be the 12th Imam, that he is the deputy, and that the coming of the Shiites' 12th Imam Mahdi is near, and the specific actions need to be taken to protect the Islamic regime for upcoming events. Now, these are things that are coming to pass. Christians are being attacked and murdered around the globe. Just had a report from Pakistan just yesterday of Christian buildings and other things being torn down and destroyed under the demands of the Islamic clergy because they represented the Christian belief and the things of the Christian God. But take heart. When you hear these things, we're told what? To look up, our redemption draweth nigh. The day is coming. The day is coming. In Acts 1:11, it said again, and I repeat, you Galileans, why are you standing staring into space? This Yeshua, whom has been taken away from you into heaven, will come back to you in just the same way as you saw him gone into the heavens. Well, I'll tell you, I've read it. I have heard it, and I have listened, and I believe that he is coming back someday, and that day is going to be very soon. The Bible goes on to tell us in Matthew 24:31, he will send out his angels with a great shofar, and they will gather together his chosen people from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. And it goes on at the end in 1 Corinthians 15:51-52, and says, look, I will tell you a secret. Not all of us will die, but we will all be changed. It will take but a moment, the blink of an eye, the final shofar, for the shofar will sound, and the dead will be raised to live forever. And we too will be changed. That day is coming, friends. It's coming, and it's coming soon. I don't know the day nor the hour, Bible tells me I don't. So I'm not even going to pretend to try to know. I just know that Jesus said certain things are going to take place, and when those things happen, you can know it's going to be soon. That day is going to come. Have we heard? Have we listened? Many years ago, and this song was written in 1937 by a guy by the name of V.O. Stamps. And if you go on the internet, you can find some recordings of it even. It's in some of the old song books. And I want to read you some of the words to this song. It says, "When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name." And then it goes into the chorus, "I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name." And we won't go through all of the chorus, but then the next verse says, "If my heart is right, when he calls for me, if my heart is right, I will hear. If my heart is right when he calls for me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name." The third verse, "If my robe is white when he calls me, when my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name." We're not only ready to hear, we should be ready to listen. So when he calls our name, you know, sometimes somebody might call your name and you may hear it, but you're not paying enough attention. You're not really listening. Ever happened to you? It happens probably all of us at some time or another. But I'll tell you, when he calls our name, we need to be listening. Amen. "I'm here, I'm here." Boy, if it even starts to sound like your name, start yelling, I'm here," and just in case, you know. Oh, are we going to be somewhere listening? Are we going to hear when he calls our name? Are you listening today for your name to be called? Well, if not, you need to be. You need to have your heart right when he calls. You need to have your robe white. Amen. When he calls. You need to be paying attention when he calls. If you're not, then you need to be. And here's how. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and I don't care what part of planet Earth you're living on, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when he comes, it's going to be too late. If you've never asked him into your life and into your heart, it will be too late. I know some say, "Oh, well, I can get saved during the tribulation period." Some will be. But don't count on it. Don't count on it, because it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. If you couldn't do it now, why would you think you could do it then? You need to be ready when he calls. And if the Holy Spirit is convicting you right now in your heart, and he's saying, "You're not ready. You're not ready. You're not ready." Then you need to get ready. And how do you do that? By simply saying, "Jesus, I surrender. I give up. Take charge of my life. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash it away with your blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. And make me your child." When you do that, just something as simple as that, he'll hear. He's listening for you to do it. And when he does, and when you call, he'll hear. And he'll come in. And you'll know when he comes in. Does that mean you're going to get out of all the problems that are going on? No, not necessarily. But you can know that you've got a hope that's beyond anything the world can possibly offer. A hope of eternity with Yahweh God, the God of the Bible. And Father, today I pray for those that are listening to this message wherever they may be. Father, that you would speak to hearts today. And Father, help them to realize that the time is short. And if they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, today is the day, now is the time, and that they would give their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.